What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blind Side Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and right there is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
Me? Who, me? What's going on, Blitz Nation? What's going on? Let's get this thing rolling. We're going to be talking some football with you guys. We got some things to go over, everybody. There's some big signings that happened today. You know, guy by the name of Sauce. You might have heard of him with the New York Jets. Guy by the name of Trey Smith with the Chiefs. But also, there was also something interesting. Me and Jimmy did a top five in quarterbacks for this right now, currently, who we thought currently right now were the top five quarterbacks in the league. And we got a little bit of heat, especially from the Eagles fans. They're a little pissed off at us. They said Jalen Hurts definitely deserves to be top five. We didn't think so. And you know who else agrees with us, Jim? Mm-hmm. Current NFL executives, coaches, staff members, GMs, they agree with us that Jalen Hurts is not, in fact, a top five quarterback. And we're going to dive into that and give you the rest of our top 10. We did top five. We're going to go from 6 through 10, give you the rest of our list. But, Jim, before we get all that, how the hell have you been?
Busy, busy, man. I enjoyed my week off here with the 4th of July and all that stuff. So, you know, had some fun, some sun. And got a lot of pool time, so I'm excited. I'm invigorated now, so I'm feeling pretty good. So it was a good week, and I'm excited to get back, though, because, again, news is starting to pick up. Camps are going to get started pretty soon. So, yeah, let's talk about it, Joe. Let's get right into it, huh? All right, so, yeah, as everybody knows, I mean, that's the talking point that everybody's talking about right now. But I feel we had to go live and talk about this because I feel that Joe and I, we're going to have a different kind of take on this whole thing, right? Everybody today, since the list has come out and stuff, they're all just, like, appalled, you know, that, you know, they're all only talking about Jalen Hurts for some reason, right? Like the rest of this list is okay, right? Like, there's nothing else to debate on this list or something, but everybody, it's like, this must be the thing that they're fed, you know, by their producers. Yeah. Like, dude,
right.
You got to talk Jalen Hurts this year. It's money when you put it out there.
I get it.
Because I mean, I get it. You know, with some people, too, complaining.
He won
about
the Super Bowl. I get it.
Ninth, though. But there's a few to break down with this. And we're going to give up our list, too, like Joe said, early, a month or so ago now, probably now, Joe, right? Mm-hmm. We did our top five quarterback list, and it was vastly different. I don't have the graphic here, but I can read it off to you, Joe. Your top five from where we left off, which, again, was a bit crazy, too, that people also debated online. But it was great. So was mine. You know what I mean? And that's the thing why we always do our own, too. And we're putting our name on it. People talk about these executives and coaches and scouts. It's all anonymous, right? So
yeah, right.
We put our name on it. Here it is. But Joe's top five so far was Joe Burrow, number one, Jared Goff, two, Baker Mayfield, three, Lamar Jackson, four, and Patrick Mahomes. So the only thing that he technically agrees with this list right here is Lamar Jackson at number four. Mine so far has Patrick Mahomes number one, Joe Burrow number two, Lamar Jackson number three, Josh Allen number four, and Jared Goff rounds out my top five. We're going to get to our six through 10 in just a little bit, but let's talk about this list again, Joe.
Let's do it.
All right, so right here, they have Patrick Mahomes number one. You can't really argue with that. I know you put Patrick Mahomes down at your number five on this with your own, excuses for that or reasons why he did that, right? But
there's
you can't really argue, Jim.
Only truth.
Only truth. So you can't argue even that Patrick Mahomes. You can debate the couple top like kind of guys, you know. And I get that. You know, he plays at a high level, multiple Super Bowls, multiple AFC championships.
Super
games,
successive.
Still playing at a great level.
Except for last year.
Yeah, I get that, but still good. And still, yeah, probably one of the top here. So
definitely.
Josh Allen now, he slipped out of your top five. He was number four for mine, was it? Josh Allen number four for my list.
I think so, yeah.
What do you think about with that now, Josh Allen number two? You can't really argue with that, right? I mean, because some people do see him. When you look at this top five or top three, like, these are elite guys. So you can jumble them, I feel like, anywhere you like them, who you like better or whatever and stuff, you know, because if you want to debate, like how they say with Jalen Hurts, you know, He's got a Super Bowl ring. Well, Josh Allen doesn't, but he's also made, you know, multiple AFC championship games, you know, deep in the playoffs. You can see the talent on the field, too. But
let's get one thing straight, too, is
crazy.
I don't care about championship wins, Super Bowl wins. This is about the best overall quarterback. That's really what it comes down to. Forget all the Pro Bowls that they won so far in their career. Like, that's what we got to set the record straight with some of our know-it-alls that were watching that were really pissed about both of our lists.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't comprehend the fact that we're not doing it off of their career. We're not doing it off of just last season. We're doing it currently heading into this season. What we were able to gather in terms of data and information from last year leading into this year, and our own opinions that makes our list up. So that's kind of what we're trying to get the point across here. It's not about what they've done in the past. It has nothing to do with any of that stuff. So it's what we believe based on their production currently and their overall play as a quarterback for the respected team. So just wanted to get that out there. Real quick.
Right, exactly. So, you know, Josh Allen there again. I mean, there's some debate there. I feel like, because I looked at last year's list, and how did Joe Burrow lose a ground from number two and then go down to number three in this one to Josh Allen? You know, what
doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because what did he not do that Josh Allen actually did? You know,
but that's the thing. That's why these lists are all they're all opinionated. Yes. There are some factors taken into consideration for sure, like stats, like recent stats, like last year's stats, what the personnel is, you know, roster-wise, you know, for their current team. And then going into the season, just how people believe they're going to do well or fail or whatnot. So there's all those aspects to making these lists put together, and then this is what people think. So, for the majority, we can't say all because we don't even know who exactly did these votes or lists or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what we can assume is that it's the majority, and that's what they broke down is the majority of the league believes that this should be the hierarchy of quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. All right, so again, there's Josh Allen at two, and then you got Joe Burrow three. So top three for me, I'm like, again, are debatable. They're up and down, but nothing's truly shocking. Lamar Jackson, you had him at four. I had him at three. So again, I think he's a great talent here. I think that's even for me, you know, debatable, close. But the one shocker for me is Jaden Daniels at number five. That kind of stood out to me.
Yeah. I mean, Lamar is definitely debatable. And some people are on the opposite side of the spectrum and saying, hey, Lamar Jackson's not a top five quarterback. Point blank, period. Not. Like, he's just not. You know, we've seen what happens in pressure situations in the playoffs. He goes into a shell. He stops running. He stops utilizing what got him there and then tries to prove a point by playing pocket quarterback, which he can't do. So there's that side of it, but there's also, like, listen, he plays the quarterback position. He can make the throws. Not all the throws, but he can make the majority of the throws. He's gotten better over time. Tag that with his lethal athletic ability, and that's kind of where you get the arguments for, against with Lamar Jackson. But to your point with the list with Jaden Daniels?
What?
After 1 year? You mean to tell me after 1 year, we're crowning this guy top five? We're crowning him already after 1 year of production. And don't get me wrong, this is a rarity, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, rookies don't just pop on the scene and do this. Like, it is amazing what he was able to accomplish last season as a rookie. Here's what I'll say. I was one of his biggest proponents when he was coming out in the draft. Thought he was electric. You can't miss on this guy. If you need a quarterback, this should be the guy. And I'm not as surprised, but I am surprised on just how successful he was his first year.
Mm-hmm.
This crap doesn't happen, guys. This is like a needle in a haystack moment here.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. He had a phenomenal rookie year, but you can't automatically put him in top five overall quarterback play. Let's see what he does in the sophomore year before we have that conversation next year, where defense has got a really good look on him, that now they got film on him. Listen, we've seen the same thing happen to C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans. Rookie year, phenomenal. The following year, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great either. So let's kind of, you know, temper expectations, everyone.
Right, right. And a guy, like you said, rookie year, a surprise, you know, to most, especially what he was able to do with Washington with what little offensive line he had on top of it.
Yeah.
Still 25 touchdowns, 9 picks still, too. Again, that's what I mean. I mean, for top five, I mean, for a rookie year, I think that's crazy. I need yeah. more. You know what I mean? And to bump some right. guys that they had even last year on this list like mm-hmm. that yeah. and put him in instantly at five, I think was ridiculous. So Jaden Daniels, I don't think should be on this list at all. I get it that they want to kind of be, they did something here when they wanted to say this list. They want to be fresh. They want to be young. They threw Aaron Rodgers off this list for the first time in, you know, like a decade or something like that. So he's one of the older guys that's off. And then even Matthew Stafford, they put, you know, a little further down here at six. But still, the oldest guy on the list at 37. But still, Matthew Stafford at six, I think, is good. And what do you think about Justin Herbert on this list, though, too? I thought that's a reach with Justin, because Justin's had pretty good numbers throughout his career. He had him at seven, like right after Matthew Stafford, which I think he's played really well. But then at times when you're watching Justin Herbert, you're looking at him and almost like, I don't know. Is he really as good? Because, you know, when he was signed on to be, you know, the quarterback for the Chargers, he was like kind of like a top ranked guy. And since then, he hasn't really brought his team deep into the playoffs, contended with really Mahomes at all, or, you know, the Bills and things like that. He hasn't brought the Chargers to that status that these other teams have. And still, now that you've got Jim Harbaugh there, you know, they make a bit of a run, mm-hmm. and they were soft. So Justin Herbert still, I think, needs more to prove to say that he's kind of top seven, I guess, in this league.
I don't know, man. I got a little bit of a different, you know, opinion on this. So Herbert's kind of been an average quarterback in terms of what you see on the football field and stat-wise. Through the course of his career.
Mm-hmm.
However, when he turns it on, he is a legit top 10 quarterback, hands down. Like, I've seen him have winning moments, like come from behind, game winning moments where it was like, wow, that's the Herbert we need all the time. Yes, but there's two sides to it as well. Every quarterback in this league, I don't care how we rank these guys, every quarterback has bad games. Every quarterback makes mistakes. Nobody is perfect in this league. And it's the ultimate team game. Mm-hmm. So for Herbert, unfortunately, he's had kind of like a bad run in terms of personnel around him. Let's just call it what it is. When's the last time he's had a stone-cold killer type of wide receiving core? Like all three guys were deadly. Never. Since he's been drafted, they've had a couple here and there, you know, they've had a couple guys where he could lean on a little bit more or throw the ball a little bit more, look for and all that. But the guy just hasn't had a complete team around him. For the first time now, you're seeing a complete offensive line in front of him. He's got two running backs behind him. But we still are missing that element at receiver, everyone. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to see the Herbert that Charger fans want to see. And with Jim Harbaugh and his impression on the offense and how he wants things run, they're not putting all the pressure on Herbert. They're like, look, the running game, the running backs, that's where all the pressure's on. You guys got to produce. You guys got to stay healthy and produce for us. And Herbert's going to fill in where he needs to. So I think overall for Herbert, I think he's a very productive quarterback when needed to be. But unfortunately, with the offense that he's in currently, there's not a whole lot asked of him. But he does capitalize when need be.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. And again, I'm not saying that he's not a top 10, but I don't know, maybe 70. I think a lot of this stuff is kind of, you know, debatable. All right, Jared Goff, I agree with that. He's on the list. He probably should be up further. Baker Mayfield on the list too here, so that rounds up. And Jalen Hurts, everybody knows here, number 9. So Baker Mayfield rounds it up at top 10. So there's your top 10 list that the executives have done. Mm-hmm. Joe, are you surprised now with that list that there's somebody that they left off that you think should be on that list? Obviously, we have our own here.
And it's weird because we don't even know why they have him ranked that way. Like, are they going off of last year's statistics just solely?
Projections for 2025, right?
Right. Are they projecting for this season, and that's why they have them ranked the way they do? You know, it's weird because we just don't know the mindset behind their list. So we're looking at it for what it is. But, I mean, honestly, like, when I look at some of the quarterbacks that are left over and everything, you think of, like, you know, C.J. Stroud, to me, I know he didn't have the greatest year last year and everything, but this is a guy who knows how to throw the ball. This guy has proven it in his rookie. It was a little harder for him in his sophomore year, but that was also because, you know, missing your number one option for, you know, several weeks, your offensive line in shambles with injuries. Like, there's a lot of things that go into it, and I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just saying that everybody has to deal with things, but at the same time, it was just a bad run for the Texans altogether. And I think Stroud would have had way better numbers had it maybe gone the other way. So I'm a little surprised that Stroud automatically kind of got overlooked for even the lower end of the top 10. I'm a little surprised. You said Jalen Hurts, what was that, 10?
Was that 9? And that's 9? One that everybody's kind of making the stink about now here. Jalen Hurts,
okay.
At 9.
Well, let's take Jalen Hurts into consideration right here. So we'll talk a little bit about him, and then maybe you'll see how we finish off
we'll
our top 10s.
Yep.
But 2,900 throwing yards last year, 18 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. It's not bad, but it's also not great either.
Yeah.
It's not elite level type of numbers. And if you watched this year, and there was an expert that came out, he tweeted at some, I forgot who it was, but it wasn't like someone from ESPN or NFL Network. It was someone like kind of independent almost, a journalist that said that for Jalen Hurts, the reason why he had successful numbers with this whole current regime is that Saquon Barkley was the missing piece. That Saquon Barkley, they relied heavily on Saquon's running ability and receiving ability to make that offense work and to relieve the pressure off of Jalen Hurts' shoulders. Mm-hmm. And it showed. Like, listen, they were heavy. They were running heavy to relieve that pressure. So then when it came to, play action, all day. Hurts has got all day to throw this ball. Devonta Smith, wide open, thank you. A.J. Brown for a touchdown, thank you. It made his job so much easier. And even that said, you can see it in the numbers. They didn't throw a ton. They didn't need him to throw a ton. So I can understand why some Eagles fans or even Jalen Hurts fans are upset and saying, well, we believe that he's higher than that. There's no way he's barely making the top 10. But I'm sorry to say, if you don't have the elite level statistics along with your play, your production on the football field, how you are as a leader, like what you're able to do in crucial moments to help your team win, that's the reason why he's lower than you think. And the majority of the league honestly agrees with us. We got slammed in our top 5 quarterbacks just because Jalen Hurts wasn't in our top 5. They were upset. They thought he was top 3. No way. I'm sorry.
Which is kind of funny, again, when we get back to these lists, when they make them again, right? You know, who are they talking to? Are they talking to the same people, or are they talking to a fresh different people? I know execs change, scouts change, and stuff like that, too. Because even I saw last year's list, Jalen Hurts was top 5 in their rankings last year. So he wins the Super Bowl, and now he's ranked ninth. So what changes from that
annually?
Again? So what does that mean, and what's your prediction for this year? Do you mean now that the Eagles are going to face some more adversity this season? They don't have a top-ranked defense, according to some people, too, as well. So I think that's exactly. So I think that's an interesting thing on top of it. But if you want to bring up Jalen Hurts and what he does, I understand what he has done with the team, brought him there. You've got to be a good leader. He is key to that tush-push that they do. But, again, they faced a lot of fourth and shorts. If you're not the Eagles, you're probably punting most of the time.
Depending on the ball, the spot of the ball.
Placement, where it is. Yeah. A year prior, Jalen Hurts, if you're trying to defend that he's the top five quarterback or whatnot, somebody even said like second after Mahomes, which I think is crazy. No. 23 touchdowns, 15 picks with a 65% throwing percentage, but with 3,800 yards. That was the year prior to last. So, again, top five worthy numbers, you know what I'm saying? Again,
close with the yards, close, but again, this just goes to show Eagles fans out there that we do know a little bit about football, and two, the fact that Jalen Hurts, as much as you want to glorify him and everything, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's a trash quarterback.
Right.
He's a really good quarterback. However, if we're talking elite level, top five, like that's where you get into those discussions, like elite type of quarterback play is in there. Hurts just unfortunately isn't there yet. It can change. But so far, what we've witnessed with Jalen Hurts as the Eagles quarterback is that he's had a couple of good years, sure. But when he has a running back, when he has a running game, they lean on the running game. They don't lean on Hurts. They lean on that running game, and then Hurts just capitalizes off of that running game. So it is what it is, guys. The what we see on the football field, it is. We're not saying he's bad. We're just saying he's not top five. Is he a top 10? Yeah, we're going to find out.
Maybe, you know what I mean? And that's what's funny, too, is because of probably injuries and things on top like that, too, that Dak Prescott has dropped out of the top 10. You know, Aaron Rodgers, like we said, too, even though Aaron Rodgers, he had a down year, but still playing at a decent level. But I feel like they see him as it's last year, basically. So they're not like, all right, well, he's not a top ranked like this one. And we don't know. I'm like, at his age, he's probably trending downwards anyways. But if you want to start talking Super Bowls and stuff like that, I mean, these guys have Super Bowl wins too. So, I mean, being a Super Bowl champion doesn't automatically crown you as top elite talent. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like everybody brings up, you know, Trent Dilfer, right? You know, I mean, he's a Super Bowl winning, right? Yeah, exactly. Super Bowl winning quarterback. Like, okay, was he elite? Was he ever top of his game? I think the year that they won the Super Bowl, I think it was it this year. He had 2,555 yards, 21 touchdowns, 11 picks. I mean, did all of a sudden is he allowed now to be an elite real quarterback after that? No, I don't think so. You know what I'm saying? So you don't just change. Yes, you might change the narrative a little bit and where you might play some of these guys because of, you know, overall what they've done in their career, but you don't automatically crown as an elite guy after that. So
no.
And again, like we talked about this, Joe, I like Jalen Hurts. I was rooting for him for a while, but the thing is too, when you're throughout your career kind of too, there's always been the debate, you know, oh, he needs to step up. He needs to kind of get this going. Then you're not elite like right away. Like, you know, that's what we're going to be looking to see with Jaden Daniels. If he can return again and do something well this year, then he might be in the conversation then, you know, one of these top elite guys. You just got to string a few together here.
Jim, we got a comment, Jim. We got a comment. You know?
Right. What do we got?
Bishep 23 on YouTube says, Justin Fields is an elite quarterback. Now, what I have to ask Bishep is, how much have you had to drink tonight and or smoke? Just curious
out there, right?
because there's no way Fields is top five. Fields is not even
no
top
way.
10. He Fields even, not even top 15.
Yeah, maybe. No. No.
So,
no. And again, you liked Fields when he was coming out of college, too.
I did. I thought he was going to end the Ohio State curse for quarterbacks. And no, he did not. And instead, he's just gone from one team to another and still trying to be a starting quarterback in this league. So gifted athlete for sure. But still hasn't been able to hold on to that starting position.
All right, so there's that list. We talked about what we liked, what we didn't like. So let's
appreciate the comment, though.
Yeah, we definitely do. We appreciate the comment out there. You know, we love your guys' opinions, too, whether we disagree or not, though, too. So probably a Jets fan out there. I'm sure he's happy about the Sauce Gardner deal and then Garrett Wilson here locking those guys in. So there you go.
Lots to be excited about.
All right, so like Joe and I said a while back, we did a top five. So with this now, this new list of the top ten, I feel like we had to finish the top ten. We had to ours to see where even Jalen Hurts might have fit or some of these other guys too. Right. So, Joe, again, let's recap.
Yeah.
You know, your top five was Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes at five. Mm-hmm. Mine was Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Jared Goff for my top five. A bit different from what their list is. But, again, everybody has their list out there, too. Guys, in your comments, again, I know you're watching, too. Drop your comments at least to put your list in there. Who you guys got there? We were more than welcome to look at them, check them out. And
absolutely.
And
anybody that's new to the show, really appreciate you viewing, checking us out. If you like what you like the content, make sure you hit that subscribe button for us at Grumblings Media. Hit the thumbs up while you're there because it does help us get a little bit more recognition. And don't forget to share it with all your family and friends. Appreciate you guys being on here.
All right, Joe, picking up at number six here for your sixth top quarterback. Who you got?
Oh, this is an easy one for me because you know who didn't make my top five is Josh Allen. And if we go back to the conversation that we had when we were talking about our top five, I said it was so close with Patrick Mahomes and him. I gave it to Patrick Mahomes. Gave him the edge because of his uncanny ability to just create something out of nothing. And that's what makes him great. So Mahomes ended up being five, so that just means that Josh Allen, for me, is going to be six. It's not really that difficult to decide here. You know, Josh Allen last year, you know, throwing 28 touchdowns, only having six interceptions, and he continues to get better, by the way. Every year he's been in this league, he continues to get better throwing the football, making decisions, and he seems to be getting, right where he needs to be in this stage of his career.
All right, man, Josh Allen again. Now, so looking at Josh Allen on your list there at six, and you've got Goff and Baker Mayfield there at the, you know, Goff's at number two, Baker Mayfield at number three. What did they really do differently that, you know, I know Baker Mayfield blew it up last year. I mean, he went astronomical here. That's why Josh Allen is kind of just fallen to six at this point.
Yeah, you know, Josh Allen, the reason is just simple. Yeah. He does utilize his legs more because he has to. You know, he's a little bit more of a playmaker. He's not anywhere close, but when you look at mobile quarterbacks, you automatically think of Lamar Jackson. Well, Josh Allen is the next guy you think about. I mean, he is just that different frame, very much bigger, you know what I mean? Kind of like a linebacker-sized guy and able to run the rock. So the reason why he's lower is honestly because of what it's not for him to be. He doesn't have to be the whole deal. He's a major part of the offense. But you've seen some of those trick plays they were running in Buffalo. Like, they had to. They didn't have a number one X wide receiver. It's not like he can throw the football at will all over the football field because he just doesn't have that luxury yet. And so far, I'm a little concerned going into this year for Buffalo. You know, do they have enough firepower? You know, and you got to wait to see what Keon Coleman does, you know, this year and all that. So, for me, currently, Josh Allen is a little bit lower than maybe some people might expect, and that's the reason.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Okay, Joe, so for number six, for my sixth quarterback, I have Baker Mayfield. Again, We talked about how good he was playing. Again, he kind of got overshadowed by the names, you know, these other elite quarterbacks 100%. Out there, you know, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson still playing at an elite level.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow playing at a great level. If he wasn't injured, I think he definitely could have been up for the MVP instead of the comeback player again. And you can see the frustration on his face because of that. But Baker Mayfield, again, kind of get overshadowed over there in Tampa Bay, and with having some of his wide receivers even injured for some time there and still making things happen. The emergence of Bucky Irving too, in the backfield with him too, and kind of where his career went and where it is now. At Cleveland, again, starting off kind of was going to be that guy to kind of take off and be that franchise quarterback for them, but didn't really work out. It had a couple of years there, and then it seemed like all of a sudden when he went under Sean McVay for that short time, something clicked, and then all of a sudden now here he is with Tampa Bay post Tom Brady, and they just pick up the ball and keep rolling, you know, making the playoffs with a new rejuvenated Baker Mayfield. So I got him at number six.
The only problem that I have with the Baker Mayfield conversation is that Cleveland just gave up on him. They gave up on him too early. It's not something that clicked. Mm. We saw brilliant games from Baker Mayfield in a Browns uniform.
Yeah.
And they just gave up too early on him. If they stayed with him, just imagine where Cleveland could be right now.
Yeah.
They could have a quarterback that they've been missing for centuries, it feels like. Like, it's just bad decision-making with that organization.
Yeah.
And now Baker Mayfield found a home in Tampa Bay and is living it up. And good God, his numbers are through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Good God, the last 2 years, this guy has had such a great, you know, resurgence of his career that, you know, 4,500 passing yards last year, 41 touchdowns to 16 interceptions. Really good ratio, 71.4% completion percentage, very high. I mean, like, was he? Yeah, 71, second in the league, you know, last year. And this isn't the only time he's been good with Tampa. The last 2 years, he's been killing it. And the guy still doesn't get enough recognition. It's just absolute blasphemy. I don't understand it.
Well, poor teams do that, Joe. We've seen it before. I've heard now with the Chicago Bears, there was one of the reporters that follows them recently just said that if Caleb Williams has like a down year here under Ben Johnson, that they're considering looking forward to a different quarterback already.
I think that is
ridiculous. If there's any truth to that, I mean,
no way.
Sell the franchise right now.
No way.
I mean,
Ben Johnson just got there.
He just got there. I mean, I think there's things about Caleb that's good. So, I mean,
you need 2 years to get your offense implemented, to get full understanding of it, the audibles, the checks, everything, the changes, you know, in real time on the football field. Like, come on. Like, you can't give up right now if he fails again. That's just too soon. And if that is true, just got to say that if that does end up happening, then that organization yet again is going to go backwards another 5 to 10 years.
Absolutely. And that's what they do. So, all right, we're talking about our top 10 quarterbacks here, finishing our top five. We did top 10. We did top five a few weeks ago. All right, Joe has Josh Allen here at number six. Who do you have at number seven, Joe?
So at number seven, this is where it kind of gets a little bit murky, where now you're grasping at straws for guys that you need to kind of put there in the pedestal. So we're at seven. I'm going to go with none other than the boy, Justin Herbert, in the sunshine of California. I'm going with Goldilocks there. With the 23 touchdowns this past year, only 3 interceptions. Kudos to the offense that was called because it limited his exposure to throwing picks, but nonetheless, super efficient, you know, got the job done, 3,800 passing yards. And honestly, like for Herbert, I think, listen, he's one of those guys where when you need him, he's there. He can make all the throws. He can execute. But with this offense that he's in, he's not required to do everything on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the first half of last year, you saw the offense that Jim Harbaugh wanted to run the whole year. Midway through the year, they said, well, this isn't working. We need to start throwing the ball more. and they became more balanced in the second half of the year, which made them more potent, more dangerous to deal with, and unlocking Herbert, in a sense, out of the shackles that he was bound to. So I think Herbert is an excellent quarterback. I think he is a guy who can get them at the next level. It's just a lot of things have to go their way, health-wise, of course. And, again, I'm a little concerned for Herbert with the receivers, but I still think he's such a good quarterback. He's going to land there 7 for me.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, too. Here I have Justin Herbert at – or actually, no, I don't. I'm sorry. I have Matthew Stafford here at, number 7. I was getting ahead of myself. But I got Matthew Stafford again. Again, Stafford with his career of what he's done. I think, again, recently winning a Super Bowl, playing well without, you know, his weapons for some time last year, too. He lost, you know, Cooper Kupp, but again, now you've got Davante Adams here, too, with Puka Nacua. So I think, again, you know, making that trade, the swap with Jared Goff and, you know, him, you know, to swap teams really didn't changed too much. Yes, L.A. got their Super Bowl, but Goff is playing at a high level here for Detroit. But Stafford, he showed that really what he can do, and he was stuck on a bad team for a very long time, too, which he kind of got overshadowed over there. You know, yes, he did have Megatron and Calvin Johnson, but, you know, for the longest time, it was kind of just those two. And playing through injuries constantly. And, again, I think still playing at an elite level. Yes, he kind of maybe takes a tick back a little bit, because 37 years old, getting a little older, he's debated about if he's going to stick around or not, you know, what he's going to do with his career. So I think for this year, again, right now, I would take Matthew Stafford over some more of these quarterbacks here out there. So I've got Matthew Stafford here at 7.
Yeah, and I feel like for me, that's kind of why I didn't have Stafford at 7 is I know this is going to be his last year. I don't even think he's going to be playing pass this year. It took him a while to kind of really decide this past offseason whether he was going to play or sign a new extension, whatnot, you know, and play this year. So he's kind of like in the same bracket I put like Aaron Rodgers at this point in terms of, you know, at the end of their careers.
Right.
We're really not sure how long they're going to play. Rodgers, I'm pretty sure he can stamp it. This will be his last year. Stafford's still a little bit up in the air, but Stafford, that kind of like played a part in my ranking, knowing that this guy, you know, is at the end of his career as well. And even though he is a great quarterback, what he's done through his career has been tremendous. The amount of times this dude has been injured and has played with basically broken limbs and still slinging the rock is tremendous. What I will say too about Stafford is that, you know, it's not too shabby that last year, despite having injuries at your wide receiving position and everything, he threw for 3,700 yards. He had 20 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Pretty good. Pretty good. But like for me, that's why I picked Herbert ahead of him is I think he's efficient, kind of similar to Stafford, but he's also going to be playing. I don't really have to worry about injury too. That's the other thing is Stafford. He does have a bad back still, and I'm a little concerned this season for him. Hopefully his offensive line is going to be able to protect him, because if he starts to take some hits, maybe it goes sideways, you know. That's that.
All right, so rounding up here now to your 8th spot here, who do you got? After
Matt Stafford, everybody. Surprise. again, like I just I already said the stats and whatnot, but this is a guy – He's just a baller. He's a dog. That's what he is. He's a dog. Like, people can't really prepare for Stafford because he's already has the smarts. He already has that savvy vetness to him, and you can't shake him. Like, he's not a young quarterback that you can kind of get under their skin a little bit and get it, you know, ruffle his feathers, so to speak. So, Stafford would be my 8th spot.
Yeah, so then my 8th is Justin Herbert. So we just flip-flop a little bit again because, like I said, I probably would have put, you know, talked to me a few years ago, and I'm thinking Justin Herbert, you know, is probably top 5 and around there. But there's something I've seen that where I'm like, man, some of the mistakes that he makes still sometimes, I'm like, man, is he Am I blinded maybe or something? He's that good. But right. If you do look at his career and what he's been able to do and still play, and maybe some of the knock and not being able to get further in the playoffs and stuff, you could probably put even on his coach that he's had, you know, before, before Harbaugh now. You know, it's Staley, again, putting his defense in a terrible position to where now his offense has to somehow and outscore, you know, the other team because he put his defense against the ropes here, you know, going for it in short, you know, situations and things, following his analytics. And, you know, putting him in a bad spot so they're not able to get wins there. But for me, again, Justin Herbert, I would like to see another kind of step up here this coming season for him to kind of move up further in my rankings here. That's why I have him near the tail end, you know, not exactly towards the middle. So at 8, I have Justin Herbert. So what do you got here now for your number 9?
So number 9, this was kind of like a toss-up for me as I'm going through. I think I'm going to actually give it to Bo Nix. Bo Nix is going to be my guy. 3,700 passing yards, 66% completion percentage, 29 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. Going into this season, I think this guy's just going to continue to get better with Sean Payton as his head coach and his offensive mentor. With the young offense they've assembled and that are going to continue to grow with Bo Nix. I was pleasantly surprised in his rookie campaign what he was able to do. I didn't think he was going to be able to do much, but he proved me wrong and balled out. And I like the future for Bo Nix. I really do. This team has been built around him with a lot of younger talent, mixed in with a couple of vets here and there. So I think it bounces out well. So surprisingly, Bo Nix is my next guy.
That is surprising because again, we talked about rookies. We can't go off of just the 1 year. We love Jaden Daniels.
It's not off of the 1 year. We're projecting.
I get that, but man, I mean, I don't know. I definitely cannot do Bo Nix. I think the jury's still out. Again, I didn't like him either before, so I was surprised as well how he did. But we shall see. I mean, I think he definitely surprised me and balled out, like you said, they did, and they played a lot better than I expected. But I'm looking to see in his sophomore year if he does, you know, get better or whatnot. So, but to put him at top 10, I think there's just better talent out there that I'm sure of right now, but you know, could be right, could be wrong.
I know.
All right.
And that's why.
Hey, so yeah.
Come on.
Oh, boy. All right, so here at number 9, this was a tough one here. As you're getting towards the top 10, you know, the ends and stuff, I was looking at him like, God, do I do this to put this guy? I'm not sure. I like this guy when he's healthy.
It's a toss-up, honestly.
But I gave the benefit of the doubt for it, and I've got Jalen Hurts at number 9. Why not? You know what I mean? They've got him at number 9. I got him at number 9. I do give him props for being – a good leader, calm, cool, and collect, getting the job done when it has to be and being efficient when he has to be. But again, with the career that was kind of riddled with ups and downs, and then now you get Saquon Barkley and that's the piece that fits. I'm not saying, again, like people will flat out say the argument is, look at the weapons he has around them. Look at the, you know, the defense that he has. This is the reason. I'm not saying that's all the reason. I still think he's a top 10 quarterback, just not top 5 elite. He's not elite. I just think he's really good. So I put him at number 9 where I think he suits and fits well right there at this point of time with him, with the team, taking him to multiple Super Bowls recently. So I think he can continue on and play at a decent level. So I got him at number 9.
Gotcha.
All right, for now you're 10. Robin, round out your top 10. What do you got?
So I'm going to make a change.
Oh, you're pulling an audible just like that? Did something happen within tonight?
Bo Nix is still in my top 10, but Bo Nix is at 10.
Oh, so you're making it – okay. So Bo Nix is no longer your 9. Okay.
No, Bo Nix is going to be 10, and Jaden Daniels will be my 9.
Oh, there you go. So
and guess what, Eagles fans? Jalen Hurts didn't make my top 10 list because he's going into this year, I'm telling you right now, he's not better than those guys. He doesn't produce like those guys. I understand they were rookies last year. I get that. But I'm actually looking into going into this year as well, where I think they're going to outplay Hurts, not because that they might be better across the board, but because of the offense that they play in, they're required to do more in their offenses than Hurts has to. And it's not because like they don't, not because the Eagles don't believe in Hurts, but it's because this is what's working. We're going to stick with this. We're going to run the ball with Saquon Barkley. We're going to throw it to him sometimes. And then Hurts every once in a while, you're going to do play action. You're going to throw it short. Or you're going to take that, you know, deep threat shot, you know? So for me, Jaden Daniels is going to be asked to do more. We've seen what he did in the rookie year. Let's see if he can increase that production in his sophomore year. I think he can. The team itself got better, which same thing with the Broncos. They got better as well, too. So give me the two young studs at the bottom of the top 10.
All right. Yeah. All right. So there you go. I've got here at number 10 now, C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud, I still think at this point, even though, again, a little bit of a down year last year, still played at a great level, did well in the playoffs, too. They kind of got shammed by the refs, but we won't get into that anymore. But still, I think the future's bright for him. And in this point in time with the league to where it is, I think he's only going to get better. So I think I could see him there at number 10, cracking the top 10 and being part of the top 10 for the next couple seasons here throughout his career. So, again, you're going to have a sophomore down year a little bit here and there. People play up to you.
Sometimes
you've had some injuries.
We'll
that offensive line didn't play the best. But I think this year, again, he bounces back. And here he is at top 10 for me. Again, honorable mention, some of those guys, Aaron Rodgers off the list. You know, Dak Prescott, I think he's a good quarterback. But again, injury plagued. I mean, and Jaden Daniels. I give props to the rookies out there, but I just didn't feel comfortable putting rookies out there.
Don't worry, Jim. I got you.
But I understand that now too, though, because when you look at this list too, when they talk to some of these guys, as they say, anonymous though too, a lot of the quotes that they had from these guys were game planning towards the quarterback. You know what I mean? So it wasn't even like, oh, I see him, this guy plays an elite level, this is the way this guy plays, blah, blah, blah. They feel like we're going to attack it as, do I have to game plan for Jalen Hurts? Not really. You know what I mean? Do I have to game plan for maybe Jaden Daniels? Well, yeah, maybe because he gets out of the pocket and does all that stuff. Lamar Jackson, right. Yeah. Josh Allen. So maybe that's kind of where they're kind of projecting some of their stuff too, is defensive-minded guys. They're like, oh, I see this guy. I have to game plan to this guy, so this is where I kind of see him on my list of guys to watch.
Speaking of lists, Bishop23 left us his list.
Nice, nice.
Or her list. I don't know. His or her. I don't know. But said, at number one, he has Mahomes. Number two, he has Josh Allen. Number three, he has Lamar. Four, Joe Burrow. Five, really? Are we really doing this? Justin Fields.
Oh, my gosh.
Jalen Hurts at 6, Jaden Daniels at 7, 8 Baker, 9 Stafford, and 10 Goff. Oh, well.
It seems like he made an effort, or she, whoever it might be, but loves Justin Fields still.
All I know was it was going really well with the top 4.
Yeah.
And then I got tripped up with 5 and 6 and 7.
Was it the same person from before that commented before too as well?
Bishop23, yeah.
Was it? Yeah, okay, that's why. So maybe he's just an Ohio State fan, maybe just Justin Fields, but maybe he's a Jets fan too. I don't know. But
also, Bishop23 said Baker reminds me a lot of a young Stafford. I could get that.
Mm-hmm.
I could get it.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. Does make sense. Got a lot of fire too. I like
tough
it.
Guy.
Interesting list. Again, that's the outlier, I guess, is Justin Fields, a guy who hasn't really proven anything.
All I have to say is at least Bishop23 gave us a list.
He
you
did.
Know, we
he
got
did.
Other people watching, and, you know, we want to hear from you guys. Mm-hmm. Let us know in the comment section down below what you guys think what your top 10 quarterbacks right now would be. It's not based off a career. You can you can look at, like, what they did last year in terms of stats and then kind of make your own synopsis and where you want to rank them, but just basically currently right now, who's your top 10 in the league? Want to hear from you guys. Drop in the comments. If you're new to the show, please help us out. We are growing like crazy, like wildfire, everybody. What are we past 17,000 18,000 subscribers now. Like, we're
not
soaring.
18 yet, but we're almost there, yeah.
We're soaring.
Yeah.
We're going. We need you guys to come with us. It's very simple. Absolutely free. Just head over to YouTube at Grumblings Media. Hit that subscribe button. Doesn't cost a thing. Hit the thumbs up as well if you like the content. Helps us grow. Helps us get more noticed on YouTube. And don't forget to share it with all your family and friends. Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. So, Joe, before we wrap up, let's talk about some of the headlines that just happened here.
Yeah.
Again, Jets fans headlines, out there, Jets rejoice. Garrett Wilson, again, dropped into a deal, which is good because that's what you kind of needed. You got
Garrett Wilson.
Yeah. You got to get him there. You got Sauce Gardner again, who's playing at a great level too. You know, I mean, multiple Pro Bowls since he's been, on the team and started in the league. Again, got shafted, I think, a lot last year, you know, with some of the penalties that he did. But then flat out kind of just did a bunch on purpose, got a little too handsy because of frustration and stuff on top of it with the team where it was. But I like both moves. You got to keep them there. They're looking to build something now with this team, and hopefully they can here with Aaron Glenn. And I'm rooting for Justin Fields. You know, I mean, I would like to see him do well. I think they can. I think he can be successful, with this offense here, with some of the running backs that they have behind there too. I just don't think they should put it all on him to kind of, you know, bring them to where they need to go. You know,
here's the problem is if they can't run the ball and Justin Fields can't run himself, they're done. This guy is not going to bring you back. If they get down by 10 points, that will even be a hard thing to dig himself out of. Because now you have to play pocket quarterback. You know what I mean? So, I just – listen, we've seen it 100 times now. We've seen him in Chicago. You know, it just doesn't get any better. We've seen him in Pittsburgh. In Pittsburgh, yeah, you're going to say, oh, he was 4-2 as a quarterback. Sure. Before he got benched. There's a reason why he got benched, though, because they noticed in those games, even though they were 4-2, when they were down, those two losses they had, he couldn't come back. He couldn't be the quarterback that they needed him to be. So, gifted athlete, again, but a guy that can't play the quarterback position and make all the throws on time, decision making, reads. All of that goes in together, and it's in a split second. So if you have to take that extra second to think about it before you make that action, and that's where Fields struggles. So I just – for the Jets fans, I know you're excited because you've got a new quarterback. You know, he's younger, new regime. Everything's looking up. But with Fields, we've seen two good we've seen the good side. We've seen the bad side. So just keep that in mind.
Absolutely, Joe. So, all right, what else do we got out there? I know
Trey Smith just signed a 4-year extension, making him the highest paid guard with $70 million guarantees. So, the Chiefs lock him up, you know, for at least the next 4 years. He's going to be the highest paid guard and what have you. And rightfully so, he is a really good guard. Man, I just think that these contracts, though, are getting pretty steep, you know, in terms of salary cap, you know, issues that could lead to later. Like, we've seen the Cowboys do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just spending. All of a sudden, it's catching up to them, and they're having a hard time locking that contract down for Micah Parsons. They're having a hard time. What are they going to do with Dak Prescott pass this year? You know what I mean? What are they going to do with Deron Bland? You know, so – all these names are going to be looking for big time money. It catches up with you sometimes if you spend it recklessly. So, with the Chiefs now, they're another team that we thought, you know, there's going to get to a point where they might not be able to afford Rashee Rice, you know, extension. I think they'll get it done because he's too important to them. But again, just when we know that these situations happen with teams, and they got to make business decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Do we let them go? Do we try to trade them? Do we renegotiate longer term, like guarantees, all that kind of thing, bonuses and all that. So it gets difficult, but we'll see if they can pull it off, you know, but I do like the move. You keep a guy who, you know, you can't afford to just kind of let him go or trade him or whatnot. too valuable, especially on the offensive line. That interior, the O-line for the Chiefs is probably arguably the best interior O-line in the league. They are so good. Tackles, on the other hand, that's a whole other story.
I mean, I like the move too. Again, you got to lock in those guys, you know, the guys that have been there to, protect your quarterback, and you got to do it. You know what I'm saying? Right. But like you said, we heard about, you know, what was going down here, with the, you know, collusion and stuff like that. You know, the owner still, you know, found not guilty or whatever, but now things have been coming out again that there was some kind of collusion there still, at least 1.2 with contracts to try and bring him down and less guaranteed money after the whole situation with Deshaun Watson and all that stuff. So, despite all that, though, still, I think contracts are still inflating and getting there. Next guy always wants their next deal, and the next one up and wants the highest paid and highest paid.
It's crazy.
Which for me kind of brings up Terry McLaurin, and he's not saying that he's not close to where he wants to be. 30-year-old wide receiver that really has had over 1,000 yards receiving opposite only his rookie year, which he had 929 or something like that. So constantly producing through a carousel of quarterbacks, but happens to be 30 years old now. So up for, you know, an extension. Right. What do you do? What do you give him? What's he looking for? Obviously, he's looking for more than, you know, they expect. But what do you do with a Terry McLaurin here? I mean, where do you see him? I've seen with some of these guys that get paid, you know, what they get paid.
Yeah.
I still think he's better than some of these guys, obviously. But, again, at that age, what are you looking to invest? Because with a young quarterback in Jaden Daniels and what you have, you know, I think you could – get younger at the wide receiver position and get some more younger guys in there that can still perform. You know, they made that trade for Debo. He's 29. So right now you're two starting, you know, wide receivers opposite, you know, of whoever, you know, around 30 years old. You know what I mean? You get a little younger in the wide receiving corps.
This isn't but they're not, they might be 29 and 30 years old, but they are not average wide
receiver. They're not like washed up. Yeah.
Terry McLaurin has been one of the healthiest wide receivers through his whole entire career. His rookie year is the only year where he missed 1,000 rushing yards.
Yeah.
And he had 919 in his rookie year.
Well, that's what it was. Yep.
You know, every year after that in the league, he's had 1,000 yards or more. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if he's 30, I'm giving him a 3-year deal. I'm giving him an extension. I'm locking him in because he's not just an average or above average wide receiver. He's a playmaker. He is your X factor on offense. He's the guy that you go to when you just need something to happen in your favor. You know, now they got they got Debo, which is nice. It's kind of like a nice pairing, you know, a little bit of like thunder and lightning at wide receivers, so to speak. A guy who's very physical, and Debo, a guy who looks like an animal with a shirt off. Just an absolute monster. And you're going to use him as the physical type of wide receiver that he is. So I don't care. I don't care if he's 30. Give him a 3-year deal, lock him in, and make it reasonable. He doesn't have to be the highest paid guys like Justin Jefferson, you know.
Yep.
So,
yep. So what do you think? Do you think like 3 years and like what, $90 million or something? Like, so he's like 30. He's a $30 million dude. You think?
I think it has to depend on the market. So you're not going to pay him like, you know, like Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson.
No,
you're
going to
pay him right below them.
That's what I'm thinking, somewhere around there.
You're going to pay him whatever the market dictates, right below that level of wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And arguably, he could be paid close to the same as Jefferson. I mean, the guy's been healthy. The guy has, like I said, his stats are through the roof. He's been quietly one of the best receivers in the league. And you can't just let him – you just can't give up on him. Even if, let's just say, this draft that they go into, the upcoming draft, They are going to focus at wide receiver. They're going to pick the next guy in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
You still don't let him walk to bring this guy in. You want to teach him too. Terry McLaurin would be an excellent veteran to learn under. So lock him up for 3 years. You got Debo, and then look to the future to add to that position group.
Yeah, but again, I'm just looking, what is he looking for? I mean, what are sources saying that he's looking for? Because right now he's got a cap number of 25.5 right now with the on the roster here for them. Until this contract, you know, he's got a void year next year. I think again, you know, a $5 million raise $500,000 raise would be good.
It's going to come down to guarantees. It always does. He wants to get paid handsomely. He needs that big guarantee. That's what is job security. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing better than guaranteed money. So that's what it's going to come down to. Mm-hmm. The number it doesn't make much sense to them. It's not the overall number. It's the guaranteed money.
It's the guaranteed
number.
Money. Mm-hmm.
It's whatever the market dictates. That's what he's going to be looking for. And he's going to be looking to maybe not necessarily be the highest paid in guarantees, but he wants to be paid. He wants a raise.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which, again, I think he should. But, again, if there's issues that are not close, you know, potentially he's not happy with it or frustrated with it, what's the deal?
He already is
what's
frustrated.
So, yeah, exactly.
He already is frustrated. That ship sailed. Like, he's already upset about the reason why it's taking so long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm pretty sure they have an agreement close, but it's the guaranteed money that's off.
Yeah,
I guarantee you that's what it is.
And I'd say give it to him then, you know, whatever.
It's like, listen.
He's proven to play for you, you know, at an elite level throughout his career.
I don't care. Ask him if he wants it in Bitcoin.
Right?
Figure something out.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. All right. What else, Joe? What do we got here?
That's it for the big news.
All right, so there you go. So yeah, I mean, we got camp starting.
Unless
up.
You want to talk about uniform unveilings.
No.
I mean, Tampa Bay's coming back with the OG, creamsicle.
It's funny how now they uniform. Just decide to do all that stuff. Now they're like, hey, we're going to do these throwback jerseys now.
Everybody's trying to increase those ticket sales.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Or just jersey sales. Let's get the throwbacks. Let's get these ones. Yeah. Like, okay. I want to see better color rush jerseys. You know, I mean, let's get crazy here again. I don't like the white. I'm not a fan of white out there either, too.
It depends on the team, honestly. Like, I like the Broncos white uniforms. Mm-hmm. I thought those looked really nice when they came out with them.
That's true, because I think definitely the Bengals, depends. When they go white out with the white helmet, I think is really good looking.
Yeah, those are real nice, too.
One thing in the headlines that I noticed, which I think – is well-deserved, is that the Washington Commanders will be honoring and retiring with Art Monk's jersey, Art Monk.
Yeah. Yep.
Great wide receiver. You know what I mean? I remember him watching him
Hall of Famer.
For years again. Yeah, absolutely here. I don't know why they haven't done this yet. You know what I mean? Why it takes so long here. But
so I got a quick question. I just popped in and looked up guaranteed money out of the top wide receivers.
Yeah.
Obviously, Chase and Jefferson, we're not even going to mention them. CeeDee Lamb is $100 million
there.
In guarantees. Mm-hmm. Here's where it gets interesting. Where do you rank a guy like Terry McLaurin to these guys? A.J. Brown, who has $84 million in guarantees. Amon-Ra St. Brown with $77 million in guarantees.
Well, you got D.J. Moore with 82. You know, I mean, 82.6 guaranteed, total guaranteed. You know, like you said, then you got DK Metcalf, then Amon Ross, St. Brown at 77. So I would give him more than Amon Ross, St. Brown at this point.
I would give him 80.
Yeah.
I would even give him 83.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get ahead of DJ.
Yeah.
Maybe that might make him happy. Maybe that's what the struggling, mm-hmm. Position is.
Mm-hmm.
Is that number is like he wants above 80, and they're like, well, we want to pay a 75.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like if it's really, if it's not that far off, just freaking give it to him.
Right. Right.
Like,
right.
You know, you're in the end, if you're Washington, you know, in the end, you want to get this deal done no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And just get, make it happen somehow.
Right. Right, and look at it this way. Again, this is, like you said, make it a 3 years. That he's got good years left in him. Yeah. Amon Ross, 26, and he's making that guaranteed money right now. Guaranteed in a few years when he re-ups, he's going to be making more than that. So, I mean, this is what happens. You know, you're going to have a guy leapfrog here and then go back, and then you're going to leapfrog them again. And this is as so it goes, you know what I mean? So well, I think I would agree with that, too. I would do that. Guaranteed money, 80 plus million. I would say that right now.
I wouldn't. That's the thing is they can't wait. After this year,
no.
They got to make this happen.
No, yeah, they
gotta,
have to.
They got to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like there is no time to fool around and we're gonna wait till next year, next off.
Yeah,
and
you don't want this to last throughout the whole.
No, let's make your best wide receiver happy, and one of the best wide receivers in the league, and keep him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, revisit this whole conversation when he's 33 and looking for another deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Then it might be a little bit hairy then. Then it's like, Devontae Adams is out there. He's still surviving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much longer does he play? You know, it's crazy.
What do you think about the amount of rookie contracts that haven't gotten signed yet that are still out there right before camp gets
I don't think anything about it. Honestly, everybody's overblowing this thing.
Yeah.
It happens every single year. Oh, there's a holdout. Oh, my God. It's never going to get done. He could enter. We heard about Shamar Stewart, about how, oh, my God, if he doesn't sign by this day, he's going to re-enter the draft next year. Do you think the Bengals, or any franchise for that matter, would actually let that happen?
No.
They already used their draft pick. They're not going to let him go into next. They're going to get it done. Just like all these other rookies are going to sign. And
they're going to take their time because they're not officially, you know, they can't get fined for not showing up to camp.
No, the crazy thing about all this is it's only about the guarantees for where they got picked. It's not about the overall contract. That's already been decided before they got drafted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's just about the guaranteed money. This is the other hurdle that all these teams need to conquer. In the future drafts, they might actually have to come together, you know, at the NFL meetings and start discussing, do we make the guaranteed money tier level? Just boom, boom, every pick. And there is no negotiation at all. Mm-hmm. Because this seems to be becoming a problem that more this year than any other year. And it seems to be like maybe agents got smarter and they're like, hey, we can still negotiate guarantees, though. So we're going to hold out. We're going to see if we can get higher guaranteed than we normally would. So they might have to go to a tier system with the guaranteed money for draft picks, too, going into the future of the upcoming draft.
Yeah, because what they're following, too, it's almost like this with the guaranteed on, you know, contracts on their players that are already there. They see somebody else works out a better deal, and they're like, well, then I want a better deal than what his deal is and what he's got here. So
exactly.
I want more of that.
Jockey.
So they're just negotiating the whole time. And like you said, the good thing about it for them, as far as they see, is they don't show up, they don't get fined or anything, because technically they're not, you know, employed by the team yet, so they're not losing money, you know. So whatever, they can just sit for the, you know, time being as long as they want. But along with that, we've also seen what's happened with that. You know, look at Joey Bosa; he's held out before and got injured, and then now throughout his career, he's had multiple injuries. But you risk things like that, not getting into the football shape and not showing up and hitting,
I'm not worried that all these teams are going to get the deals done when it counts. Get them in for training camp. That's all they care about.
Yep.
So when training camp actually happens, but right before then, maybe it's 24 hours before training camp opens, you're going to start seeing contracts get signed.
Right. It'll be like 24 hours after the show airs. Like, that's usually the way it goes, too. Like,
happens when we start talking about it.
It stops. Like, right after. So, all right, Joe. It's been a blast talking about that. We gave you guys our top 10 quarterbacks out there. Let's list it one more time for you guys, just in case you're just joining us, too. And again, you guys are listening to the audio podcast, too, because you can get this podcast through anywhere you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Pandora. Comment your list here too, or send a message to us here at Grumblings Media. My top 10 quarterbacks reads as this: Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Matthew Stafford, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, and then C.J. Stroud. Joe's is Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Matthew Stafford, Jaden Daniels, and then rounding it out is Bo Nix. So there you go, everybody. Comment in this comment section. Like the video. And Joe.
Or dislike the video.
Please don't dislike the video. So.
No, you can. No. Because you can. The more clicks we get, the more aware everybody else can be about this show.
Well, so, there you go.
It doesn't matter if you like it or dislike it. Just do one of them.
There you go. Or all of it. Comment, too. Tell us you don't like us everything. In the comments if you want. So it's fine. We don't care. It's all good. All right. So that's it. We will see you guys next week and talk about some more good stuff with you guys. See you in the next one.